Sometimes we wonder, when looking at some of the older stuff, how they did that. Some of the old house posts, ridiculously awesome. I've seen them, can't remember how many times now, but every time I see them, it's like I notice something new.
A series of classes in Klukwan gives residents a fresh perspective on everyday artifacts. And a statewide photo contest honors Chilkat State Park's birthday. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories, up next. Chilkat State Park in Haines is 40 years old this year. It was established at the same time as the Alaska Division of Parks, right before Ketchumak Bay, Chugach, and Denali were recognized. So to celebrate, State Parks is holding a photo contest among shots from state-managed lands all over the state.
We'd love to get good images of any of those four parks that are turning 40 this year, but we want to make the contest open for any images of any parks throughout the state.
Claire Holland-LeClaire is organizing the contest for state parks. She says the photos will become anniversary posters to be distributed statewide, while parks like Chilkat are holding their own commemorative celebrations.
So what we're hoping to do is get six really good images and create a series of 18 by 24 inch posters. They'll either be vertical or horizontal, depending on the images. And we're going to have them printed up in-house, and there'll be some way that the posters will all be tied together, the same logo, you know, 40th anniversary of Alaska State Parks, 1978 to 2010. They'll all have some connection, and then we're going to distribute them throughout the state for free.
LeClaire says images can be from any year, any state-managed land, during any season, and should be mailed in on CD if possible.
We're not going to put a limit up or down on this size of digital files, because we want to gather as many images as we can. And even a fuzzy image can have some artistic quality or can evoke a sense of place for somebody. So we're accepting photos in 35 millimeter slide, print accompanied by negative or digital. And obviously we want as high quality as possible, but we're looking for lots of different perspectives as well. And so we want not just scenic pictures, but pictures of people in the parks, plants and wildlife, historic structures or sites, different perspectives, either aerial or underwater perspectives, or from the ground looking up. We're looking for a variety.
The nearby areas that photos can be from are Chilkat State Park, Chilkoot Lake, Battery Point, Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve, Portage Cove, Mosquito Lake, and Sullivan Island. To find out more about the State Parks Photo Contest, search Alaska State Parks in your online browser and click on 40th Anniversary Photo Contest. Eight Klukwan residents are putting the finishing touches on various carvings this week as the latest Thlinkit Art Class with the University of Alaska Southeast Outreach Program concludes. Master carver Jim Heaton, who's worked on local projects for 25 years, is teaching the class.
This class is on dance staffs, carving dance staffs.
Dance staffs are used in Thlinkit dancing to keep time and help maneuver people during dances. Many of the staffs being created this month will travel to Juneau this summer for celebration. Every other year, the gathering brings together hundreds of Thlinkits, Haidas, Tsimsheans, and at least one time, Hawaiians, to dance and share their artwork. Like the newly created dance staffs.
Usually a shaft and then a carved figure on top. And some of them were one piece and some of them were two piece. But there's also people working on other things too. We have the dance staff as the official name of the class, but whatever anyone wants to work on, I'm fine with them working on it. So one guy's working on a wooden hat, a clan hat, and another guy's working right now on a small paddle, but he's also finished off three bowls that he had started in other classes. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, different things, like Jim Stevens is finishing a rattle he started last time.
The combination of items that carvers are working on actually helps in the learning process, says Heaton, who worked with some of the students on projects like the Haines Library Totem Pole and the Veterans Memorial Totem and the Longhouse Project in Klukwan.
Well, when you've got people working on different things like this, then they actually pick up stuff from each other, too. Seeing someone doing something different can inspire you to do something different next time, you know, because nobody's doing the same thing. Even, you know, the staffs are all different. They're all pretty much, I guess you'd say, clan-specific. You know, we've got a baleen whale, we've got a raven, we've got a wolf, we've had another raven done, there's going to be a frog. So when you're doing things like that, you pick up stuff from other people, whether you know it or not. And then learning to use different tools to do different things, too.
Daniel Clinot is one of the students who also helped with the Haines Library totem pole last summer.
Right now I'm working on a baleen whale dancing staff.
He and his fellow classmates are working 5 hours a day for 5 days a week to complete a total of 75 hours for the 3-credit class.
I've been pretty much with this crew since I think we started the summer of 2002 on the traditional smokehouse down at our culture camp. And we also did a traditional dugout cottonwood canoe. Just gives us a chance to learn more about our culture, and it's fun.
And without modern references, a lot of the scene in the tribal house is something like it might have been generations ago, as Jim and Daniel describe.
Well, we've got actually a lot going on right in this one room.
That's Andre working on his handle. That's somebody sharpening a knife they're working on.
And then we just sweep all the wood chips in the middle under the table, and then at the end of the class, we bag them all up and take them home and, you know, have fire start.
The biggest difference, perhaps, between a carving scene from centuries ago and one this week might be Mary Jane Valentine, the first female student in the Klukwan carving program.
It's been interesting working with the guys. I didn't know how they were going to take me in the beginning. I think at one time, women weren't allowed to touch the men's tools or look at the carving while the guys were doing it. So it was a taboo. And so when I began and put my application in, they kept putting me off and putting me off just for that reason. And I think one reason was they didn't know how receptive the men would be. So I asked Jim Heaton, and he said, sure. So we gave it a try. I really just wanted to see what it was all about. And I'm still carving with them.
Mary Jane is working on a dance staff with a frog carving on top, since she's from the Frog House. She's actually completed many other classes in Tlingit art, earning both a certificate of merit in carving and in weaving.
There's a lot of us up here in Tlingit that have taken all the different classes, weaving and basketry and appliqué sewing. So there's been a lot of us taking all different classes, and we're just, you know, at the beginner stage for, you know, some of us, and we're just keep taking classes and just keep getting a little bit better all the time.
Valentine says a couple other women in the village have taken carving classes in other parts of Southeast.
And I don't even think it's just here. I think in other places, too, women are carving now. Still, though, you know, in some places, I'm sure, you know, men kind of frown on that.
The university's outreach program classes have been offered since 2003 in Klukwan and have led 10 carvers and almost as many weavers to complete certificates of merit there. Those certificates signify a traditional and modern understanding of Native artistry.
They call it a certificate of merit. It's not quite a degree, but, you know, as close as you can get in Native art here. And they had to have so many credits in carving, and then for the carving you had to have tool-making class, and then the weavers and the carvers all had to take a Tlingit art history class, and then a marketing class and design classes.
The certificate aims to teach more than just producing art, but turning it into a trade.
There's a lot of stuff still around, but then, you know, you need to generate new stuff, and I guess one of the things, too, is there's an economy built around producing the artwork, too. So some of the stuff will be used in a traditional manner, and some of the stuff will be put on the market, providing a, you know, an economic benefit for the community. And in order to do that, you have to learn how to do it. You have to keep doing it, because the more that you do, the more you learn, the more you retain. And it's helping to reclaim a sense of ownership for the work, too.
Learning about carving has given Daniel Clinot a more fixed perspective on some of the artifacts he grew up with.
Sometimes we wonder, when looking at some of the older stuff, how they did that, because we can look at it, and not have a clue. Some of the old house posts, ridiculously awesome. It's like, I've seen them probably, I can't remember how many times now, but every time I see them, it's like I notice something new. It's like, huh, I wonder how they did that. I was learning something new.
And it's giving one father-son pair something to do together, Jimbo Stevens is carving a rattle in the class and says he wishes he would have started this 40 years ago.
Every time I look across the table here, I see my youngest son carving, and makes me feel good inside to learn something. I mean, it's quite a process and a learning process, really interesting too. And it's a good thing, especially younger generation, like the guys in their 20s and 30s has taken this class. And it's quite fulfilling when you see they're talking, laughing, and it never dull moment.
Many of these artists have already earned their certificates in carving, but the program is ongoing. After the dance staff carving class ends, there's a basket weaving class with Haida Weaver, Dolores Churchill, and after that, a blanket weaving class. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. KHNS Local News airs every weekday at 5:30 p.m. and on weekday mornings at 6:49 and 7:49 a.m. Then a review of the week's top local news stories is heard every Saturday during Lynn Canal Weekend on KHNS.